where entrepreneurs come to grow. It's Passage to Profit with Richard and Elizabeth Gearhart.
So what if everything you've been told about scaling a startup is wrong and the real game isn't growth, but building a platform no one can compete with? James Thornton has taken companies from zero to nearly a billion, rebuilt failing businesses, and now sits at the center of a controversial shift in AI where data, and not the AI models, is the true power. So how hard do you have to work to create a billion-dollar company?
I wish you could actually measure it. It's pretty difficult to do. It is an all-day, every-day, every-moment effort in order to be able to do that. The real magic is entrepreneurs, they do two things. The first thing they do is they make decisions that others can't or won't make. And the second thing is they surround themselves with people that are smarter than they are and then give them all the credit. Despite the blood, sweat, and tears that have gone into my businesses, both running public companies and startups, the real magic has been just being surrounded with wonderful people, really capable, talented people. When I'm not at my best, they can carry a little extra water. And sometimes when they're not at their best, I can do so for them. And when you know you're in that kind of environment, the sky really is the limit.
But during the course of your career, I'm just trying to put it into perspective for our listeners who may not have a billion-dollar company. What were your work days like? I kind of think of Elon Musk, for example, who seems to work almost nonstop. Elon Musk works almost nonstop, for example. Has that been your life model? Or have you found some time to find at least a little bit of balance in that?
You obviously can't argue with Elon's success, but I chose to take maybe a little bit different of a path. You know, Stephen Covey shares the principle of sharpening the saw and the importance of taking time to pause and to make sure that you sharpen the saw. And I have found that to be a really important part. My experience as an entrepreneur and in building these companies has been, if you don't take the time to better yourself, if you don't take the time to learn new things, if you don't take care of yourself physically, it's really a difficult thing. Our family has a 6th-generation cattle ranch in southern Utah. It has become a real escape for me. So over the years, I've taken advantage of the opportunity to work on the ranch, to do things that push me physically and give me a release being outside. And I've tried to blend that into my work habits or around my work habits so that, again, my tank is full. And I feel like when I am engaged at work, I'm giving 100%. That doesn't always happen, but that's my goal. And I think having the ability to blend other interests and personal welfare with your company is an important step.
That's so true. I feel like my most creative times are when I'm not thinking about work and the thought pops into my head, right? But what if someone has a company, and I think all companies go through this, where they're struggling and maybe they can barely pay their bills? How do you turn that around?
Well, generically, that's a pretty big question, right? It certainly sort of comes down to the type of company that you have. I've been in tech and content development for most of my career, and it really does, at the end of the day, come down to just putting one foot in front of the other and not neglecting the simple things. Again, Cliff referred to the fact that it's so important to leverage people around you, but he also talked about how he was the guy willing to do everything. You know, I've emptied my own garbage cans for as long as I've had my career. You know, I've done the simple things, the day-to-day steps. Perhaps I could give you just a really brief anecdote. In my early 20s, I had a stroke. I had an aneurysm. And I was told at the time that I would never speak again. And I didn't have use of the left side of my body. And I had wonderful parents who would not buy into the prognosis. They believed that I had the ability and with the support, again, of friends and family, that I would recover. But it started with very small steps. I remember my dad sitting at the foot of my hospital bed, tossing a tennis ball up to me. And when we first started doing that exercise, sometimes it would take minutes, maybe longer, for me to even be able to reach over and grasp the tennis ball. And then it took some doing to be able to sort of roll it back. And then eventually I could throw it back. to my dad using my left hand that they told me I would never use again. It was those small steps. It was those quiet moments that made the big difference in my personal healing. And that really is true for any entrepreneur, especially when they're starting out and they're struggling to make ends meet and sometimes worry if they're going to make the next payroll. If you focus on the little things, the things that are right in front of you, my experience is more often than not, you'll figure it out and you'll find a path to achieve what you're trying to achieve.
Wow.
So how do you feel the experience of having a stroke shaped your outlook on life and your career?
Well, it also very much made me appreciate the things that matter and even the simple things. I remember, again, several nights laying in a hospital bed and the only sound in the room, in a dark room, that I could hear was the sound of myself breathing. And right after the stroke, my experience was I complained a lot. I felt sorry for myself. I was angry at the world. I just felt like I had been robbed. But in those quiet moments, when I would only be able to hear myself breathing, I would do things like just count the breaths, one breath, two breaths, three breaths. And it pointed me to what matters, right? And I started to think differently. I started to think how grateful I was that I could hear my breath. And that led me down a path of appreciating those simple things. And it's the same thing in business, right? You celebrate even those small victories. You're going to have failure. You're going to have moments. You're going to have difficult times. And it's not just about celebrating the big wins, the big contract, or the large revenue, or the investments people are willing to make into your business. It's the small victories. It's those little things that sometimes should motivate you to celebrate those more. We have a regular town hall with our company, and that's what we do at the town hall. We don't talk about EBITDA and financial performance and how we did in those moments. We talk about how people are doing. We talk about how they're winning in their work and in their individual workflows. And now we're talking about how they're using AI in those individual workflows and how fulfilling and how efficient that helps them be. And that's important. It's important to not just get caught up in the things that are loud and big and require fireworks and celebrate those wins and allow your team to do the same.
I tend to be a worrier, and I have to give Elizabeth a lot of credit because, you know, she'll say, well, what are the three good things that happened to you today, Richard? And I'll ask her the same question. And, you know, even if it's just for a few minutes to get refocused on a few positive things, and there aren't always huge things. Sometimes they're simple things like I got a computer problem fixed by the IT service or whatever it is. But just reframing things like that, I think, brings a freshness to the way that you look at what you're doing. So
yeah, and I love it when people say, well, what if we hit rock bottom? It's like, what happened to your business in 2008? Did you survive? If you survived 2008 as a business person, you can survive almost anything, right?
True. So James, I wanted to ask you a question about something that popped up here in our show notes, and that is data and not the AI model is the true power of AI going into the future. I'm wondering if you could talk a little bit about that.
Sure, I'm happy to. So, you know, even as recently as a few months ago, people were celebrating the model, right? It was about the ability to build some type of foundation model that could bring something revolutionary or bring more efficiencies to, you know, companies and industries. What people, I think, are finding is sometimes those AI models, while they're brilliant technology, you'll get an output that isn't exactly the way you want it to be. I mean, sort of think about in your everyday work life using a tool like ChatGPT. I mentioned that I love to continue to learn. I'm in a four-course certificate program right now with Vanderbilt University, and the first certificate was on prompt engineering. And as much as I use AI and as much as our business is an AI native company in terms of providing data training to companies, I learned so much. And I learned that I'm going to get exactly out of ChatGPT or even an AI agent like GPT or even more advanced AI agent. I'm going to get what I want based on what I put in. It's garbage in, garbage out. And I think that's what I'm experiencing even in our core business, in providing really high quality training data to train mostly visual models, models for gaming or tech or robotics, the ability to get a good outcome, to have that model perform the way that you want it to, that AI model, it's all about the input. It's all about the data that you're putting into that model and how well it's structured, how high quality it is. That's really important. So whether it's in your personal workflows or when you're talking about big, giant AI companies building these massive AI models, if you're not putting quality into the model, you're not going to get quality out.
Well, and we can feed the models things. Like I have to constantly tell the models, I use more than a few of them. Look, I'm an old lady and I use AI and I use it for this. So don't assume.
You look much younger, by the way.
I said, don't assume that we're not using it. But also I ran into an incident with it. I totally agree with you that the prompt is the most important thing. I feel like it's a pretty linear thinker still because of, I'm going to talk about this later in the show. What I'm finding with people is somebody will ask me a question. I'll say, well, you just go ask the AI. And problem is they don't know how to ask it. That's what's happening
That's right.
now.
I was just going to suggest, you know, you gave the case of really explaining yourself to the AI, to the LLM model. Maybe I could just share one trick that I think really works in getting the most out of the model. I'm sure, that, you know, both Cliff and Eric do this in their businesses. It's called persona prompting. So instead of trying to describe yourself to the AI model, describe the person or the function or whatever that you're trying to solve for. So if I'm trying to help my dev team work on some code on a product that we're working on, a procedural tool that we're working on, I don't go into my AI tools or my AI agents and describe myself to them because they've learned my voice a bit and they're gonna give me back what they think I want to hear. Instead, I will say, I'm a junior developer. I just started at the company. I just graduated with my computer science degree, and I'm really learning AI.
Yeah, we do that all the time because, like you, if I put in a question, it says, "Well, for Gear Media Studios, your studio, this is." I'm like, I'm doing this for a client.
But did the prompt class that you took really help you sharpen your AI skills? Did they provide some standard formats to use? How did that work?
So the course at Vanderbilt really, you know, it gave suggestions and it gave scenarios and you take exams, but you also work through labs and models where it helps you refine sort of that prompt engineering. And so that was helpful. And think of it this way, I've been actively making money in AI since about 2018. And I use in my personal, in my professional workflows, it's at the core DNA of our business that we're in the AI data business. And I still found that I learned some good tricks. I learned some new things. And so that was what was very helpful. And we extend that educational program to all of our employees. So as an example, a course that is commonly spoken to that everybody beginning in AI should consider taking is called AI for Everyone. It's taught by Andrew Singh. It's taught through the Coursera platform. And every one of our employees have taken that course. And then from there, they branched out. If they're a project manager, they're taking AI for project management. And we give our employees the opportunity to learn as they go. And I have to set that example. I have to be willing to learn and continue my journey along this path.
I think that's excellent. I think we all do. I think that's, I've given that as my secret many times before, never stop learning. And even if you think you know something, you don't know everything about it, probably.
That's right. So on that thought, we have to take a commercial break. We're with James Thornton, who is the co-founder of DAZ3D. And we're going to learn more about DAZ3D right after this commercial break.
Do you hear that? That's the sound of uncertainty lurking under your hood. You know the feeling. I know I do. That sudden sinking sensation when you see a check engine light or your car unexpectedly breaks down and you're faced with sky-high repair bills. It's time to shield against unexpected repairs with CarShield. CarShield is America's most trusted auto protection company and has an A rating with the Better Business Bureau. Don't let the fear of a breakdown keep you up at night. Trust the Shield. CarShield and say goodbye to terrifying repair bills and hello to peace of mind. Your plan also comes with 24/7 roadside assistance, courtesy towing, rental car options, and so much more. Don't wait till it's too late. Call CarShield now before a breakdown. Protect your wallet. Protect your car with CarShield. Get our best protection ever. Call now. You'll thank me later. 800-261-2176. 800-261-2176. That's 800-261-2176.
Have you outgrown your health insurance plan or just not happy with what you're paying for? The number one reason we all change our health insurance is price. Are you paying too much for your health insurance? Would you like to have better coverage at a better rate or at little or no cost to you? Your life needs are always changing, but have you done anything to improve your health insurance for you and your family? Health insurance laws and coverage are always changing and getting better. It's impossible to do all the research yourself, but now it's all done for you for free. So regardless of your age or medical condition, take a few minutes right now and find out if you can save money or even qualify for zero cost health insurance in your state. Call now.
Paid for by Cheaper Health Insurance. 800-652-1470. 800-652-1470. 800-652-1470. That's 800-652-1470.
Building your business one idea at a time. It's Passage to Profit with Richard and Elizabeth Gearhart.
And our special guest, James Thornton. Yeah. James has got just this amazing AI technology for 3D models, and you can use it. So he's going to tell us all about his DAS platform. So James, tell us what you were just talking about.
DAS 3D is more than a couple decades old. It's a business that started as a 3D modeling and creation company where we have a very robust 3D software platform. We give that away to consumers for free. We've probably had somewhere in the range of 6 million downloads of that software over time, several hundred a day. And then we operate a direct-to-consumer marketplace where content that is built using our technology and our software can be sold. And so we have a creative community, a UGC community of hundreds of the very best 3D artists and developers on the planet. And they use those tools, they create content, and they bring it to the DAS site, and they get to rev share with us. And many of those hundreds of artists, while they're not technically our full-time employees, make a full-time living doing that. And the content goes into animations. It goes into cinema. I mean, maybe you've heard of, for example, digital online influencers like Lil Miquela. That was actually built on our technology. And so we've had this really awesome direct-to-consumer business for a couple of decades. A few years ago, so actually in 2019, we then formed a B2B brand called Taffy. And Taffy serves that enterprise customer. So if you look at sort of the three foundations of the DAS business, it's technology, it's an awesome content library, the best and most versatile 3D content library on the planet, and it's this creator community. And we've taken that three-legged stool or those three competencies, and we've now built new tools, procedural tools, AI tools that allow us to service enterprise partnerships. And we also do that in two ways. Number one, we can provide really cool content. If they have marketplaces or if they are doing game development or app development, they can use our content. And again, those that are building AI models can then use our data to train their models. So if you think of, you know, any kind of text-to-character model that you might see in, say, Meta Horizons in their VR headset, or Roblox has a product called 3D Cube, or a company like Tencent has a product. All of those models are text-to-3D or text-to-content models that can only work if you've put good data into those models. And because we own all our data, because it's high quality, because it's IP protected and versatile, we're able to give them quality training data sets that they then can use to train those models, so that now it's not just about a creator who is really artistically talented or willing to spend hours and hours and hours learning how to use a software program. It's now an enthusiast, or it's somebody just exploring the use of 3D, or a small business that is building a website or something and wants to be able to have really cool content. Those models are out there being developed. And while we don't own the models themselves, we train many of them using our data.
So how would I go about incorporating 3D animation into, say, our website? Would that be an application or a use that this would work for? Or does it have to be like a 3D glasses from Meta or something, virtual reality type of content?
The beauty of 3D is it works in 2D even, you know, better than 2D content does. So if you're creating product images, if you were creating, particularly, we have lots of clients in the fashion space as an example. So if people want to do clothing try on or something like that, and they want to do that through their website, they can do that with our content. And what we're seeing a big movement toward are people now giving real personality to AI agents in their marketplace. So, you know, let's say you're building a website and you have a customer service function and you're using, say, a customer service product like Finn to be able to do customer service for your customers. Now you can give that AI chatbot or agent a persona, a digital persona, a real identity, and you can use our content to do that as well.
Yeah, I would encourage everybody listening to this to go to his website, daz3d.com. I went and I was just pretty blown away. I really wanted to start playing with the stuff there because you have a free trial, right?
Absolutely. It's a free trial. Like I said, the software is free. People can just go there, create an account, download the free software that comes with a pack of free content for them to sort of play around with. And if they like what they see, they can purchase directly through that marketplace.
So what are the most common applications for this technology? What industries or products use this the most?
It is a wide array of companies. For us, and sort of our target focus is on actual content and character and scenes and 3D avatar side. Again, you're going to see people use it a lot in the fashion space. You're going to see it a lot in gaming. So we can optimize or make that content so that it works across all different formats and platforms. So people can use it to build a game. Even if you're an indie developer and you're just looking to build a simple app or a simple game, you can use the content. People use it a lot for still rendering and images. So if somebody's writing a book, they can build illustrations for that book using the 3D content if they're not an artist and don't have the budget to have an artist do that. So there's really a lot of applications. And then, of course, on the training data side, it's all about physical AI and autonomous AI right now. And so I mentioned we have a sixth generation family ranch in southern Utah. And it's amazing what AI is bringing to agriculture. Again, all of that needs good training data to train those models. But it's phenomenal. And so we've actually rebranded our ranch in Southern Utah, the AI Ranch. And there will be a podcast from the AI Ranch. And it's all about focusing on markets like, you know, farmers and ranchers, agriculture, or drilling and mining and energy or construction, and helping people, first of all, understand AI as a general principle and in their general workflows, but then it'll transition to actually helping them with amazing technology. As an example, NVIDIA is working on a robotics program to completely eliminate pesticides in farming. Mm. And I don't know if you've watched any of those videos online, but it's fascinating. It's a robot moving, I don't know how fast, 10, 20, 30 miles an hour down a row of crops, and it has 10 arms. And AI has trained it to be able to identify the weeds or what's not supposed to be there from the actual crop. And it's just going through at amazing speeds, pulling out the weeds and such.
Yeah.
That is amazing.
More pesticides, right? So
I love that. That's great. I love that. I just have one quick comment. Richard's telling me that we need to wrap up, but sure. This is probably outside your core business, but I could see a lot of applications for this in the education sphere, especially teaching science. I remember taking calculus years ago and the guy trying to describe how you have this 3D object and you take a slice out of it and my brain just going, yeah, I don't see in 3D. But and then also like molecular structures and stuff like that. Probably not something you've gotten into, but hopefully somebody is. But this is just amazing. But I think I'm most enticed by the robot story. That is so cool.
It's pretty awesome.
I want a robot. I've wanted a robot for many years.
Yeah, if you can figure out how to get one to do the grocery shopping and cleaning up the house, then that would be even more impressive.
Empty the cat box. Okay, so how can people find you?
Go to daz3d.com. And again, you can reach out and contact us if you have a specific need. If you look under the tab of AI solutions, if you're a small business or a company looking to integrate AI into your workflow, you can click on the AI solutions site. And all of that information is available. And our team is pretty speedy to respond. So we'd love to hear from you folks.
Excellent.
If you enjoyed this episode, subscribe to the podcast and leave a quick review. Also, follow us on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and X, and subscribe to our YouTube channel for bonus content.
Learn more at PassageToProfitShow.com.